They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days they will fast. He told them this parable. No one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise they will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new. For they say, the old is better. Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Jeff's amused about something. I'll have to find out about this later. Just kidding. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for our chance to gather today. We thank you so much for this opportunity to encounter your holy gospel, to ponder what it means for you to be Jesus the bridegroom. Lord, we thank you for each one here. Lord, we pray for those who cannot be here today. Send your Holy Spirit to them. Send healing to them. Bless all those who are able to hear today and those who listen online. And dear Lord, let these words indeed be yours and not mine. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, yesterday I went to a wedding. It was the wedding of my great niece, and my great niece, 80 is her name, and she married Isaiah in Columbus, and so I got to go to the wedding. And besides the emotion, I guess, of nervousness, which I saw, the other thing that I saw, and that you would expect to see, I think, is joy. That's something that came across in the wedding. And it was good to see that joy in the faces of Adi and Isaiah as they begin their life together. You know, in Luke 5, verse 33, the start of our gospel today, it says, they said to him, these are his critics, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. And what he's talking about there is, and he goes on to say this after that, is, you know, why the groom's here. You can't be fasting and put on a sour face. You gotta celebrate. You gotta welcome the joy, right? This is a joyous day, a day in which a marriage, a new life together is beginning. And Jesus is comparing himself to the bridegroom here. Of course, he would marry the church. We know that. He would marry the people of Israel. And so that's something. While he is present, while the bridegroom is present, you must rejoice, is what he's saying. You guys have all seen Peanuts Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas. And in that story, Charlie Brown knows what Christmas isn't, but he doesn't really know what it is until the end. And so basically the whole story is him trying to figure out exactly what Christmas is and to experience joy. I don't know if he would articulate it that way, but I think that's what he wants to experience. He wants to feel Christmas. He wants to know what Christmas is, you know, in a personal way. He knows what isn't because every moment he keeps being reminded how commercial Christmas is, right? So he knows what it isn't, and he grumbles about that. But he's searching, and he wants to know, he wants to experience the joy of Christmas. And finally, Linus comes, and he reads, or knows by memory, the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And it's at that moment for Charlie that joy, the joy of Christmas, dawns in his life. And he experiences it. And he knows then what Christmas is about, the baby Jesus, the Christ child. And I think he really helps us understand an important point, and that is that joy is something that can't be manufactured. It can't be made up. It can't be ordered. It's got to be experienced, and it can only come as a gift. You can't dial it up like that and just make it happen. It must be given. It must come when it's ready to come and to be given to you as a gift. And that moment, of course, was when the gospel was told by Linus. And so just like joy can't really be manufactured, you also can't help but be joyful in the presence of the bride, Jesus Christ. You know, in a world in which you can buy anything and have it arrive at your doorstep that afternoon, joy eludes us. You know, we can't put it in our shopping cart. We can't proceed to checkout with joy. It simply must come. And it simply must come by the baby Jesus, who offers it in a true way. So Jesus is, and what he's saying in the gospel today, Jesus is the new way, the new path. And one of the characteristics of this new path to God is it's supposed to be joyful. Why wouldn't it be joyful if you're experiencing God, if you're welcoming him? And so while the bridegroom is here, the disciples can't be fasting and in dismay. And he gives this wonderful image, this parable of the wineskins, which takes some uncovering to figure out because most of us don't put wine in wineskins anymore. But what used to happen with that is they would put new wine in a new wineskin. And wine, of course, has a fermenting process and a life of its own in that process, and it expands. And so in this wineskin, the wineskin was made out of often animal hide and things, it would expand. And so it would stress that hide over time. And you could use it a few times through the fermenting process, but if you tried to use it too many, you put new wine into an old wineskin, it would swell and expand as it always does, and eventually it would burst the old wineskin. That's what Jesus is talking about today. If you got new wine, you've got to put it into a new wineskin. Let's work with that image for a little bit. You know, the old way in the biblical times, it seems, was for people to go around fasting and looking dismal with their faces, right? And so they come to Jesus and they say, well, your disciples, they're eating and drinking. They're having a good time. You know, what's wrong with this picture here? And Jesus gives this image. The new wine must be put in new wineskins. In other words, there's a new order that has come. There's a new way. And that new way is going to be about experiencing joy while the bridegroom is here, while Jesus is present. I read this cool story this week about Bono. Bono is the lead singer of the band U2, which some of you will remember, and they're still a band. So it's not just like it's a past tense. They're still a band. Over 40 years, I think, they've been a band. Well, Bono has also done a lot of things for good in the world. He started in 2000 something called the Jubilee Project, Jubilee 2000, in which he worked with various countries and leaders, religious leaders from both the left and the right, in order to help forgive the debts of nations who couldn't pay them back. couldn't pay back their debts. It was called Jubilee 2000, which is from Leviticus, in which all debts were renounced every 50 years. And so he's done a lot of good. Anyways, Franklin Graham, who's the son of Billy Graham, picks him up at the airport because they're working together in this Jubilee project. And this is how their conversation went. This is Franklin Graham starting. You really love the Lord? Yep, said Bono. Okay, you do. Are you saved? Yep, and saving. No one laughs. Franklin doesn't laugh, by the way. Have you given your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Oh, I know Jesus Christ, and I try not to use him just as my personal Savior, but you know, yes. Why aren't your songs Christian songs? They are. Oh, well, some of them are. What do you mean? Well, why don't we know they're Christian songs? And Bono said, they're all coming from a place, Franklin. Look around you. Look at the creation. Look at the trees. Look at the sky. Look at these kinds of verdant hills. They don't have a sign up that says, praise the Lord, or I belong to Jesus. They just give glory to Jesus. And I thought, you know, that Franklin's questions, they're so robotic, right? They're so manufactured that they kind of rob the joy out of, you know, sharing Jesus and the bridegroom. And, you know, last January, I think it was January, we started off on our mission goal to welcome people and to invite people to church. And we used the passage from Luke 1, 67 to 76, I think, which is Zechariah's song about John the Baptist being born. And it's a really joyful moment. And we took all three of our things that we might use in sharing the gospel from that passage. And we talked about how, you know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, be prepared in season and out of season to give account for the hope that is within you. And we talked about, you know, not necessarily just doing what Franklin did, although, you know, maybe there's a place for that. There's a time for that. Those serious, straightforward questions. There could be a time for that. But in today's world, you got to look for moments in which the Holy Spirit opens the door, right? And then you can think about, you know, first of all, give me the words, right? Give me the words, Lord. But you can think about how Christ has forgiven you, how he's delivered you, and then how he has revealed himself to you. Those are the three things that came out of that song of Zechariah. And here's the message that I want to send today. You know, we have Paul, right? He's someone who came. We have Landry today, and we have your family who came to our outdoor worship as well. We have other people. We have Melissa that's come, and hopefully it's coming back soon. Instead of just looking at the numbers and the results, which is kind of robotic and manufactured, instead of looking at it that way, instead, think about the joy that was shared in sharing. And that joy that was communicated and passed on, whether it, you know, you got to share something from your life, a way in which Jesus touched you, or they came and they experienced joy in some way. And so I encourage you not to be discouraged, you know, as we get to December 31st and we haven't met our goal of 10 people exactly, if that happens. It still might. But if that happens, don't be discouraged. Continue to share in joy. Look for that open door from the Holy Spirit. Share in the joy of the bridegroom. Keep eating and drinking and celebrating and welcome people into that gift of joy, which, you know, oftentimes it doesn't come as we expect. If this had all worked out how we had expected, there'd be 10 people here every week that were new, right? I mean, that was how we drew it up. That's how we hoped. But, you know, things don't always work that way in faith. and in mission and with God. There was some Catholic missionaries who went to the nation of Tanzania, which is in Africa. And this was in the 1950s, and they were Catholic missionaries. And they were hoping to convert a people from there called the Maasai. And they wanted to convert the Maasai men to Christianity. And in this book, it's called The Church of Women in Gendered Encounters Between Maasai and Missionaries. What happened was the women, the Maasai women, converted in droves to Christianity, but not the men. And the missionaries in the 1950s considered it to be a failure that they didn't convert the men. Like, they didn't care about the women, kind of. So, you know, oftentimes in mission, it's not how we draw it up. It's not what we end up looking for and expect to happen or hope to happen. That may not be Jesus' plan. And so then we've got to, you know, take a moment and reconsider the blessings that have been given and to embrace the gift of the joy in whatever it might be that Jesus has decided to do. In this case, it was droves of women who came to the faith and that were saved. And they missed it. They missed that joy because they thought it was supposed to work out to be another way, just the men. And they were unable to see that. And what was happening is, what happened for the Catholic missionaries and what happens in our lives too, oftentimes when we pray for things or want God to act in a certain way, is that we're trying to put new wine into old wineskins. It's the new wine is what Jesus is doing, and the old is our way, and we think it's going to happen. And we try to put that in there, and they burst, right? So we need the new wine of Jesus. We need to welcome it with the new wineskins of open minds and hearts to embrace whatever it is Jesus is doing and trying to do. You know, like joy, the Christ child can't be manufactured. The Messiah can't be bought and ordered and sent to our doorstep that afternoon. The Christ child is a gift as well, to be received or to be rejected. And we must, each of us must choose. But as you approach the Christmas season this year, and it's already the third Sunday in Advent, I just want to invite you, amidst all the stuff that's happening, and amidst all the hardships that you might be going through right now and that's going on in the world, to pray for being able to receive the gift of the wonder of this beautiful story, this beautiful true story of God being born of a woman in a manger, to an audience of shepherds and angels, and later on to kings who would come and bring gifts. And you know, if I was asked, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I've already told Sarah that I would like to have, you're close, a brand new black Toyota Tacoma, manual transmission, with a cap, with windows that slide, and when they slide, there would be a screen there so I can camp in the back, you know, and not be too hot. And then bed drawers that would come out under my platform so I could store stuff. And then also little cubby holes so I can store all my gear for outdoor stuff on the sides. And then a rack on top for my kayak. So if I was asked what I wanted, that's probably what I would say. But what I'm doing when I do that is I'm taking the new wine that's offered to me and I'm putting it in the old wineskin. And, you know, because baby Jesus comes and Instead, what he wants to give me, instead of all that, is himself. And, you know, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. And in this passage here, he's talking about him being the bridegroom and that the disciples, need to continue the joy. Their disciples are celebrating. They're in joy. And that joy is offered to us still now, still today, all that time after this passage. You know, I love from Luke 5:33, I love that phrase, they go on eating and drinking, right? And so I want to encourage you to go on in joy and celebrating this wonderful gift that Jesus has given to us, himself. And you guys will know probably my favorite part, and it's a part that Linus emphasizes in his quotation of Luke 2. Verse 10 says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" That's a message to us as much as it was a message to the shepherds. And so as we close today, I want you to ponder this week, what is the new thing? What is the crocus in the desert that Jesus is trying to offer to you and to us here at St. Mark's this Christmas? I don't know what it is. You know, instead of planning what I want it to be or what I hope it to be, let's just let the new wine and welcome it with a new wineskin. All I do know is that joy will be a part of it.